Bibles, and we're continuing our series. We're not far from the end, but we still have a few more, a couple of chapters still to go in the Gospel of Mark. So I'm going to ask you to turn with me over to Mark chapter 14, and I want to pick up reading in verse 53, Mark 14:53, and then I'm going to read down through this chapter, Mark 14:53 and following. Remember from last Sunday, we looked at or surveyed the different trials of Jesus. And those trials, remember, we think of them, six of them. We think of three on the religious side and three on the civil side. And so Jesus is going to Annas, he'll go to Caiaphas, he'll go to the Sanhedrin. They will take him, and they'll take him over to Pilate. Pilate will send him over to Herod, and then Herod will send him back to Pilate before Pilate basically gives the order of execution. So we're back to another drama. And you think of going to a movie and watching a movie, two-hour movie, and think about all the different plots or different scenes of a movie. Usually you have your love. Brother, I'm a little hot. Steve, would you turn me down just a little bit? I'm a little hot. So you have your kind of your love theme going on, you know, this man and woman falling in love, and then you got your adventure over here, and, you know, the bombs are blowing up and all the things, and then you come back. And so you got all of these things kind of going at the same time. Well, that's the way here it is in the Scripture. And so let me read our text, and we'll pick up and looking at this kind of the subplot that's going on. I've asked you to turn to Mark 14:53. Bible says that they led him away to the high priest, and all of the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes convened. And Peter followed him at a distance right into the high priest's courtyard, and he was sitting with the temple police warming himself by the fire. So friends, that's the plot that we're going to look at. So they arrested Jesus, and then we looked last week, we surveyed, they took him to Annas, they're going to take him to Caiaphas, they'll take him to the Sanhedrin, take him to Pilate, take him back to Herod, and back to Pilate again. But in the midst of all of those things going on, all of a sudden, we're back to Peter. Peter is following Jesus at this distance, and he gets to the courtyard, and the Bible says that he goes into the courtyard, and here Mark says that he's setting and he's warming himself by the fire. Now, if I continued reading those verses that we've already looked at, we understand that Jesus is evidently in a little higher courtyard, and he's being tried. You can imagine Jesus being tied and bound together, and you got all of these priests and all these religious people, and they're asking him questions. Are you the Messiah? Are you, you know, who you say you are? They bring in the false witnesses. And they say, oh, I heard him say that he was going to destroy this temple and not that made with hands, and he's going to build it with a temple not made with human hands. And so they got all of this going on. And then we drop down to verse number 66, Mark 14:66. Notice again, we pick up Peter. It says, while Peter was in the courtyard below, one of the high priest's servants came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with that Nazarene Jesus. But he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about. And then he went out of the entryway, and a rooster crowed. And when the servant saw him again, she began to tell those standing nearby, this man is one of them. But again, he denied it. And after a little while, those standing there said to Peter again, you certainly are one of them, since he was a Galilean. And then Peter began to curse and to swear with an oath, I don't know this man and whom you're talking about. Immediately a rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered when Jesus had spoken the word to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will have denied me three times. And when he thought of it, he began to weep, the weeping of Peter. Now, friends, I want to actually begin, if you got your scriptures open to chapter 14, I want to go back to 14:27 and really look at that, the sayings of Jesus. So again, remember that we're somewhere either late Thursday night or maybe here we're in the midnight hour, or maybe we're about 1 or 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning when Jesus then was arrested. Notice what Jesus said to Peter, verse 27, 14, 27. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will run away because it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have been resurrected, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." And Peter told him, "Even if everyone runs away, I will certainly not. I assure you," Jesus said to him, "today, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But he kept insisting, "If I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And they all said the same thing. Now, a few weeks back, remember that we made our way through what Jesus had just said. And we're picking up Peter's life again. And if you remember when we came to Peter and really what Jesus has said. And by the way, what Jesus said here was a direct quotation or a fulfillment of a prophecy that was based out of Zechariah, where the Bible says that the Father would strike Jesus, he would strike the shepherd, and the sheep then would scatter. And Jesus is just simply quoting that, said, "Look, I'm going to be stricken tonight, and when the Father strikes me, then you're going to scatter." And Peter said, "No, not me, Lord, not me." And he didn't say it just once, but that imperfect tense of that verb tells us that he was saying it again and again and again. "Not me. I'll never do it. Not me." Now, friends, we're going to look at Peter, the example that he goes through, and some of the things that I think that we can learn from Peter and this idea of disobeying the Word of God, and that I think that we can apply those principles to our lives as well to keep us from denying the Lord. By the way, have you ever denied the Lord? Have you ever thought about, you know, saying, you know, maybe you haven't said the words, "I don't know him," but probably some things in our lives that would seek to prove that. What I mean is that it's easy for us to be Christians here, right? I know that you love the Lord. You know that I love the Lord. And, you know, man, we're bold here, and we can talk about sinners, and we can talk about sin, and we can talk about all the things that we know and love about Jesus. But once we say the amen and we go back into the world again, then it depends on what people group that we find ourselves in the midst of, that the tendency that we may have is to simply, you know, to deny the Lord. We don't really want people to know that I'm one of them. Are you one of them? Man, the servant girl came up and said, "Oh, you're one of them. You're one of those Christians. You're one of those followers of the Nazarene Jesus. Are you one of them?" Do we ever deny the Lord by simply kind of, you know, getting back in the crowd, sitting in a crowd where, you know, that people are enjoying sin, they're enjoying the world and so forth, and rather than taking a stand for Jesus and standing up, that our tendency is that maybe we just want to forget that I'm a born-again Christian. Now, friends, what I would say, if that doesn't fit you, just hold on, because I promise you that will become a scenario in all of our lives. And friends, let me tell you, there's just simply no way around that. Jesus told his disciples, "Look, I'm going to be struck, and when I am stricken, then all of the sheep are going to scatter." Now, Peter says, "No, Lord, I won't do it. Never, no, you're not, you know." And yet we talked about a few weeks back about the fact that Peter at that stage began to deny the Lord's word. If Jesus said, "You're going to deny me," then what would have been Peter's right response? What should he have said? Well, Peter should have said something like, "Lord, please give me, you know, when this time happens, Lord, give me the strength. Give me the ability to learn from that. Lord, when I am tempted to deny you, and when I'm in that situation that I'm all alone and my tendency is to hide my belief in you, Lord, give me the strength to overcome that," versus saying, "Oh, that will never happen to me." Friends, remember what that is. That's pride. And the Bible says very clearly that pride comes before the fall. Now, I'm going to quote a verse, and we won't look at it, but you remember that when we turned over to Luke chapter 22, that Jesus was very clear to Peter. And what Jesus said to Peter was, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. And Jesus said, Peter, I prayed for you, and when you turn back, you're to strengthen your brothers. So all of these things that Peter is going to go through, remember, is the plan of Jesus to hand Peter over to Satan to teach him a lesson, and the lesson is going to be about the humility that Peter needs. And not only does he need humility, but he needs to understand that when God's word says something, friends, we need to accept that word. We need to believe in that word and no longer doubt that. When Peter denied the very word of Jesus, when Jesus said to him, "You're going to deny me," and that became then the downward spiral, the downfall of the Apostle Peter. And friends, it would be very foolish for anyone here today that would say, "That will never happen to me," right? That's pride. It will happen to all of us, given the right scenario and the right situation in our lives. Now, I want to turn over, if you're following along with me, and I want you to turn over with me, and I want to read this account out of the Gospel of John. And I want you to see some very clear steps that Peter is making. And when we follow those steps of Peter, then again, remember that this is what Jesus said. "Peter, I prayed for you, and when you turn back, you're to strengthen the brothers." So what we want to do is to look at these downward steps of Peter, and that we can learn ourselves. Because the day is coming, the hour is coming, the time is coming, when I too will be in a situation that I don't want anyone to know that I'm a believer. And so let's learn from Peter, and certainly pray, "Lord, give me the strength and the ability not to do that." Now look with me in John 18, verse 15 and following. John chapter 18, same scripture, but there's some words here that I think are important. John chapter 18, 15 and following. It says, "Meanwhile, Simon Peter was following Jesus and another disciple. That disciple was an acquaintance of the high priest, so he went in with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter remained standing outside the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the girl who was the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. And when the slave girl who was at the doorkeeper said to Peter, 'You aren't one of those man's disciples too, are you?' 'I am not,' he said. Now the slaves and the temple police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing there warming themselves, and Peter was standing with them and warming himself." Now friends, let me give you some of these steps. By the way, this is very simple as we just look at the example of Peter. Peter, when you repent, when you change, when you turn back, after you learn the lesson of humility and learn the lesson of believing what I tell you to believe in, then we're to strengthen the brothers. So here's the downward spiral of Peter, and I would argue here is our steps that leads us then away from God in our own lives. First of all, the Apostle Peter. How would we place Peter within the spectrum of believers? Would you think that we would classify Peter as just a common believer? Would we say that, you know, that's just something, his characteristic, his life, is pretty common to mine? Well, friends, we understand that the scripture refers to him as an apostle. I mean, this guy, if we could elevate or if we could put it in a different area, Peter, man, he was a pretty important person. And so the Bible says here that as Jesus was arrested, if I were to ask you what was God's will for the disciples after he was arrested, well, he tells us that they were going to be scattered. And so it seemed to me like, reading it on the surface, that it was God's will that once he was arrested, he arrested his son, he was bound, that it was for his desire for those other disciples then to flee. Now, friends, from a human perspective, I believe Jesus wanted, he didn't want the disciples to see the trauma of what he was going through. You can only imagine. They had been with Jesus for 3 years of his life, and they loved him. Friends, I've never seen Jesus, right? I love him. I know that he is my Savior. I know that he died for me on the cross of Calvary, but I've never been physically in his presence. These disciples of Jesus, remember, that they lived with him 24/7 for 3 years of their life. And friends, we can only imagine when someone that we care about and someone that we love, when we see them going through problems in their life and how much we have sorrow and pain and for them and how much love and so forth and how much we suffer because we don't want to see any of our family or any people that we know that we are loved with suffer. So I think it was God's will ultimately for the disciples then to scatter, to keep them at a distance from the things that he was going through. Can you imagine sitting in the being in the presence of Jesus as a disciple and seeing people slap him or spit upon him or to call him names? They're going to take a scourge and they're going to scourge him and they're going to bring his flesh to nothing and he's going to go through all of those things. And so in some ways, I think that Jesus wanted them out on the surface and not close in that way. But nevertheless, because he disobeyed the direct word of God, when Jesus said, Peter, you're going to scatter. And Jesus said, never. Peter said, never will I do this. So Peter's got to learn a lesson. And so the lesson that Peter learned is a lesson for us to learn as well. So we read here out of the Gospel of John that the Bible says that Peter, first of all, was following Jesus then at a distance. Now, friends, that's the first problem that we find in our own lives, right? Let alone disobeying the Word of God. It's the idea that we're following Jesus wholeheartedly. No, it may be that there's times in our life that we understand that when I'm in a place that I begin to deny the Lord, that if I were to backtrack my steps, that it began in my life when all of a sudden I begin to distance myself away from the Lord. Rather than keeping myself close to him through Bible study, through prayer, through church attendance, through worship, through fellowship with the believers in Christ and so forth, that there may be times in our life when I get too busy. You know, Lord, you know all of the things that I'm doing, and I just don't have time. And when I begin to run out of time with my relationship then with God, and I begin to distance myself away from him, then, friends, let me tell you that I'm taking the steps then that will eventually lead me to a place that I'm here in a place where I am denying that I even know the Lord Jesus Christ. So be careful that you don't distance yourself away from the Lord, that you keep yourself close to the Lord by those things that I just mentioned, ultimately the study of the Scripture and the fellowship then with the saints of God. Now, friends, note with me here that there's another step. Back in John chapter 18, and notice with me, let me mention one thing here in verse 15. It says that meanwhile, Peter was following. You read the other gospel, he was following at a distance, but there's another disciple here. Now, who is this disciple? Well, it doesn't mention it. But this is one of those literary devices that the author of this letter, the Gospel of John, uses about himself. John, the author of this gospel, never refers to himself in the first person. It is always that other disciple. It is the disciple that leaned on Jesus in the upper room. So here it is, John the apostle and Peter, that they go to the outer courtyard of where Jesus has been arrested, and there's a lower courtyard and there's an upper courtyard, and evidently John knows someone to get them on the inside. John goes in, But right now, we're not so much concerned about John as we are looking at the footsteps of Peter. And all of a sudden, the Bible says here in verse number 16, but Peter remained standing outside of the door. Now, friends, that's important because this is another one of the steps that when we begin to distance ourselves away from the Lord, then there will come the day that we will stand at a door of opportunity, that we'll stand at the door of temptation. And when we read here that this door was closed, the temptation, the denials of Peter were on the other side of the door. And so here Peter was standing in front of this closed door. And so he's standing here. He's distanced himself away from the Lord. But even here, it would seem to me like that Peter had a choice, that Peter had an opportunity to remember what Jesus had told him. Before this very night, you will have disowned me three times. And standing in front of that closed door, Peter had an opportunity to say, oh Lord, I believe in your word. I believe, Lord, that I'm going to deny you. Please, Lord, help me overcome that. Give me the strength and the ability to not deny you. And Peter was standing in front of that door with that door closed until the servant girl on the other side of the door opened up that door. Read along with me now in verse 16. So the other disciple, the one that was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the girl who was the doorkeeper, and notice here that she brought Peter in. As long as that door was closed, I think he was good. But remember that he distanced himself, and then before long, there was a closed door, and on the other side of that door, on the other side of that opportunity, on the other side of that situation would be the place where he would deny the Lord. And what I would argue for us in our own lives, there are many of those doors every day that we can go through. And we are to stay away from those doors, that we're not to go to those doors and go through those doors of temptation, those doors that seem to be opportunity. Because when we get inside of there, again, we're looking at this downward spiral of Peter. Because for us, remember Jesus said, when you have gone through this, then we are to strengthen other people to keep them from going through that as well. Notice with me in verse 17. The slave girl who was at the doorkeeper, who was the doorkeeper, said to Peter, notice the implication here, aren't you one of these man's disciples too, are you? Peter said, I'm not. He said, and now the slaves and the temple police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing there warming themselves, and Peter was standing there warming himself as well. So Peter goes to the door, right? Door's closed, and then all of a sudden the door opens. This girl is on the other side and says, hey, come on in. And when Peter gets in, all of a sudden, maybe the first thing that he says, maybe when he came to the door, he says something like, thank you. Thank you for opening the door up. Maybe he said something to her, and all of a sudden when Peter said what he said, that she began to probe in his life, and she began to say, look, are you one of them? Are you a Christian? Are you one of those believers? Are you with Jesus the Nazarene? Maybe you know, when you come in, that your lifestyle, my lifestyle, is a little bit different from all of those that are living on the other side of the door. But let me tell you that Satan is always ready to open the door and to invite us into his presence and to invite us into a lifestyle that will set us up for our denying of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter was at a distance. He came to the door, and the door was open, and Peter went in. When Peter went in the open door, all of a sudden they knew, the servant girl knew, you're one of them, right? You know, we're going to look at a scripture here in a moment. She says, your speech gives you away. Man, you don't curse, you don't talk like the world. Man, your lifestyle, the way you dress, the way you act gives you away. You're not like us. And friends, let me tell you, that's exactly how every born-again Christian lives, that we are different. The Bible says that we are the salt and the light of this world. The Bible is very clear by telling us that we have the aroma about us. It is an aroma of life, or it is the aroma of death. And that's who we are as the born-again Christians. And as soon as Peter entered into that outer courtyard, and she realized that he was one of them. Now, friends, note with me here something John says, that if we don't examine it very closely, we may miss what he's saying. Notice that at the first denial, verse 17 says, you're one of the disciples too, are you? And Peter said, I'm not, he said. Now the slaves and the temple police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. Now friends, what in the world is a charcoal fire? Now when I think of charcoal, I think of, the charcoal that we buy and we cook our hamburgers and stuff on at the house. And, when I get cart charcoal, I usually put the whole, can or whole bottle of lighter fluid on it. And man, when I light that thing, it gives the big blast and so forth. You want to get those charcoals hot enough, where they'll turn white in order to cook the meat, right? And so really when charcoals are burning correctly, there's no fire that is there. Are you with me? Now, the charcoals will definitely give off the heat, but there's no open flame. There's no open fire that is going on. So look with me with Peter here for just a moment. So Peter is standing at a distance. He comes to the door of opportunity. He comes to this door, and he has a choice to make whether he wants to go inside or stay outside. And when the door is open, he's welcomed in. He goes in, and you can only imagine how dark it must have been in that outer courtyard. There wasn't an open flame, an open fire, that the fire itself would have illuminated and made it very very bright in there. No, it was a charcoal fire. And friends, here Peter was standing at a distance and he was looking in, and friends, it was not illuminated. The presence, when he came into the presence of those that were there, the temple police and the slaves and all of them, friends, their faces were not illuminated, that Peter himself was walking into an opportunity then of a very dark place. You see, Peter, in that downward spiral, is getting further and further away from God. And then he goes in. Now, I'm going to stop here and take you back to Mark for just a moment. Mark chapter 14, and I want you to see something here that Mark adds. Mark 14 and verse number 66. Mark chapter 14 and verse 66. It says that while Peter was in the courtyard below, one of the high priest's servants came, and when she saw Peter, notice he was warming himself, and looked at him, she said, you also are that, you're with that Nazarene Jesus. And he denied it. I don't know and understand what you're talking about. Then he went out of the entryway, and a rooster crowed. Now, friends, look with me in this text. So here Peter, you remember that he was walking at a distance. He came to this door of opportunity, and the door was closed. He had a choice of going in or staying out. He chose to go in, and when he went in, he went into this courtyard of darkness. And those people that would deny the Lord, then those people that hated Jesus, and those people that had no understanding of who Jesus was, they had no understanding of what was going on, a little higher up in that courtyard where Jesus then was bound for the sins of many, right? They had no clue of what was going on. And yet, Peter had the Word of God in his own heart, even though he was denying the Word. When Jesus said, Peter, you will disown me three times before this night crows, before the night is over, before the rooster crows two times. And yet Peter, we find himself, not only is he in the company, company of these unbelievers, but now the Bible says, Mark says that he was sitting And now he is warming himself by that fire. You see, friends, there's a point of no return, that when we step through that door of worldliness, even as a Christian, that when we step there, remember that the first step that gets us to a point of denying the Lord is when we begin to distance ourselves away from God. Friends, I would encourage you to keep your heart warm, to keep your hearts in the Word of God, to keep your hearts committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to walk with Him closely in your life. But if you find yourself, as Peter found himself, away from the Lord, there's all kinds of opportunities that Satan will throw before us in those doors of no return, that once we enter those doors, then not only will we be recognized as believers, but let me tell you the mockery that comes in light of that. Are you with me? The mockery, you're a Christian, and now you're sitting and warming yourself at our fire, and you're enjoying our jokes, you're enjoying our sin, you're enjoying the things that we like. And friends, sometimes there's no return in that. That once we sit at the world's fire and we warm ourselves with their charcoal, friends, there's no return of that. We've lost our testimony. We've lost our influence that we're to have then with this lost and dying world that we live in. Notice here that the Lord sends a warning to Peter. What was that warning to Peter? Now, friends, we don't see that very clearly here, but I think that the Lord warns Peter. But friends, by now, his mind is so in tune with the mockery that is going on in that outer courtyard that he never heard the first rooster that crowed. Look at what he says. He denied him, his first denial. He denied him in verse number 68, and he said, "I don't know and understand what you are talking about." And then he went out, and the Bible says that the rooster crowed. Did Peter hear that rooster? I don't know if he did. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But what I would argue is most likely he didn't hear it. That there are times where we get so away from the Lord, we distance ourselves so far from Him, that we enter into the door of sin, that we find ourselves warming ourselves with the things of the world, and we're living in that heart of darkness, that there may be warning signs that the Lord sends to us, just like He sent the Apostle Peter when that first rooster had crowed, right? And yet Peter is not thinking anything about it. And I would argue he probably didn't even hear that rooster crow. Pretty similar to our lives as well today, when we find ourselves away from the Lord, that the Lord may be sending us little things in our life to warn us, to get us out of the courtyard of the world, to get us back through that door that we enter to repent of those things that we know that is wrong, and to get us back into a close relationship then with the Lord Himself, that we never think about those little things that God begins to send to us, even in the voice of that rooster that crowed and Peter never heard. Look with me in verse 69. It says, Mark 14:69. It says, "When the servant again..." Oh, by the way, let me say this, and I think we've already kind of covered it. But how did Satan humble Peter here? Peter, you remember, no one would ever deny how courageous Peter was. Would you agree? Peter was a very courageous individual. Friends, I believe that when he told Jesus, "Jesus, I'll die with you," I believe that he meant that. And we know that he meant that because when they came to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was Peter who reached for his sword, and it was Peter who was ready to fight. It was Peter who was ready to stand up for the Lord. And if Peter had a good aim, he was aiming for that old boy's head, and evidently he missed it, or the guy turned his head and he cut his ear off. Peter is a very courageous individual. The problem in Peter's life is our problem as well. It doesn't matter how courageous we are. It doesn't matter about our status in this life. It comes down to whether I believe what the Lord Jesus Christ tells me to believe in. And yet, the tool that Satan used to humble Peter was this little servant girl who began to ask him the question, "You are one of those disciples." Wasn't a big Roman soldier, right? All of the attire and so forth. No, it was just a humble little girl who began to ask Peter that question, "You too are one of those disciples of the Lord." Verse number 69. When the servant saw him again, she began to tell those standing nearby, "This man is one of them." One of them? Notice the distinction she makes. One of them. We would say today that when I find myself in the courtyard of the world, in the courtyard of denial, that the world will look at me and say, "You are one of them. You're one of those Christians. You're one of those believers," right? You find yourself away from God in that moment of temptation, and the world will always remember who we are. You are one of them. Notice in verse 70, but he denied it again. And after a little while, those standing there said to Peter again, by the way, notice that nothing happens there. He just denied it again. And again, in verse number 70, he said again to Peter, "You certainly are one of them, since you are a Galilean." Now, friends, there is a passage, and I'll quote it for you here. If you turned over to Matthew tells us that it was the Galilean accent that gave Peter away. Remember that Peter was from Galilee. He was a fisherman. And they had a different accent than those Jews living in Jerusalem. We think of people here in the United States as when you live in the South and you have people from the North, that people from the North come to the South, we can understand that they have a different accents. Or when we go from the South to the North, we hear things a little bit different. And it was Peter's speech. It was Peter's accent. And friends, what I would say to us is we can never, as a Christian, get away of exposing who we are in a courtyard of doubt, in the courtyard of this world, that our accent, our Christian belief, the practice of who we are will always be enlightened in the world, and they are going to know who we are. We are Christians. We are believers, and we will never, ever get away from that. But the criticism will come then to our lives. Verse 71, we're almost done. It says, "Then he," Peter, "started to curse and to swear with an oath, 'I don't know him, this man that you're talking about.'" It says, "Immediately a rooster crowed the second time, and Peter remembered when Jesus had spoken the word to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' And when he thought about it, then he began to weep." Now, friends, there's the lesson. There's the full circle that Peter had to go through. That when he denied it the last time, the third time, "You're one of them," then all of a sudden Peter remembered when he cursed and he was saying all kinds of things against the Lord. Then all of a sudden when that second rooster crowed. By the way, there's all kinds of comments on these two roosters that are crowing. Some would say that roosters crow any time of the day. You can have an old rooster, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, could crow and check on his hens and so forth. But we understand clearly that that a rooster crows at the break of day when the daylight begins to shine. Right, man, that's when they do their best. They get out. Man, we're going to start the day. They start crowing and start, you know, getting out of their nest and so forth, getting from where they are. And friends, notice with me that it was at the time of the second crowing of the rooster that all of a sudden the light clicks on. The dawn of the day comes into the heart of Peter. And Peter at this stage remembers the word of God. He remembers what Jesus said, "Peter, before this night is over, you will have disowned me twice." And it was there that all of a sudden the word of God came into Peter's heart, and he remembered what Jesus has said. And there was a moment then of Peter beginning to weep. And the Bible talks about how that sorrow will often lead us then to repentance. And evidently that's what happened in Peter's life. Now, friends, listen, Peter did all of that for us. if we'll take what Peter has gone through and we realize those steps that he went through, that we don't have to go down that road. You know, this is a road of wisdom, right? How many of us as adults or as parents that when we try to instruct our children, we tell them, don't do this, right? And they do it anyway, right? There I am, right? I did the same thing when my parents tried to correct and so forth. And there's a foolishness in the heart of children that's bound up in children. And wisdom says that I can listen to someone that can tell me not something not to do or something to do, and I'm wise enough to listen to that godly advice and to do exactly what they say because they've lived through it. Peter has lived through this. We don't have to find ourselves in a situation where we're warming ourselves with the world and only have the world to turn upon us and to criticize us for who we are. And friends, I would say that we have to keep our hearts warm when it comes to the Lord, that we don't follow him at a distance, that we keep close to him, right? We have to be careful about those doors and not enter to the doors of temptation, that we turn away from those doors, we run away from those doors, and we run closely, quickly back to the Lord and let him warm our hearts. But the good news is, even if I find myself at the fire of the world and I'm warming myself and I deny the Lord, right? If I haven't done it, I will do it. I have done it, I will do it. That's just simply the way that we live. The good news is that the dawn comes, the light comes. The good news is the Lord is gracious toward us. He is forgiving. No matter how many times that we do that as born-again Christians, his love and his grace is always there to forgive and to make us clean and to make us right again. Friends, if you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus, I would invite you to do that today. Christian, you may be warming yourself with the world. You may be at the door of opportunity you think is the best thing on the other side of that door. And friends, when you enter that door, it's the wrong choice. I would say the Lord is still gracious. He's still kind. Come back to him. Believe in him. And keep your life always in focus of who he is and for what he's done. Let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you today as we've studied the scripture together, Lord, that we too are like Peter. And Jesus, you tell us things in our lives. And Lord, we understand that Peter's choosing to not obey, to disobey, Lord, your truth, your very clear word, Lord, when he said never, Lord, but we understand that becomes the demise, that becomes the step of a downward spiral. And Father, I have done that, and Lord, I ask you to forgive me of being in the world and denying you. And Father, help me the next time that I enter into that door, and Lord, the world is there, and I begin to warm up to the world. And Lord, give me the strength to overcome that. And Lord, give me the wisdom to be able to see your mighty hand and to give me that strength that before I ever enter into that door, that I would turn away from that door and I would run fastly back to you. Lord, we thank you that you're a God of love and a God of grace and a God of power. And we ask you to pour your spirit out here this morning and to bring us closer to you. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.